Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Terry Craig Show, Real Women, Real Results. This show is about women in business who love what they do and are doing what they love, as well as helping those that are longing to do so. It's about reveling in our successes and learning from our failures. It's also about sharing what we have to offer and compelling reasons why others want to promote and support us. And finally, it's about what brings us all together, our passions, our values, and our desires to make a difference. In other words, it's all about you. I am thrilled to be able to bring today's show to you. It's a gorgeous day here in Houston, Texas. Nice, beautiful sunshine. And I've got some beautiful sunshine that I'm going to introduce to each of you as well. So for all of you that are listening to the show, whether you're listening live or you're listening to the archive, I want to give you just a very, very special welcome to the show. There's someone else that I want to welcome to the show, and that is today's guest. You know, I'm all the time getting asked about women in the construction business. I have people that are looking to do some remodeling, or maybe they're looking to do a commercial building or commercial rehab, all of that. And people, because of a lot of the community that I deal with, they are very into supporting women in the business. And so I'm delighted to be able to introduce to you, as well as to welcome, Terry Robinson of Construction and Design to the show. Are you there, Terry?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, okay, let's get right to it. Again, like I said, I'm always getting people asking about wanting to connect with women in the construction business. And so when you and I met and got an opportunity to get to know each other, I was so thrilled, number one, to have met you, but also have met someone and connected with someone in your profession. So tell us a little bit about what construction and design is about. What do you do?
Well, I'm a general contractor, and I've owned my own business for the past 6 years, and I do both residential and commercial remodels as well as new construction. And being a woman in construction has just given me a unique advantage, I think.
Well, and you know, it certainly does give you a unique advantage. Like you and I were talking before the show came live, you know, there are a lot of industries that are male dominated, but I'm going to say that construction business is probably one among the tip top, that there aren't that many females in that industry, or at least that I have come to know. So it's awesome to know someone that has succeeded in that industry in spite of your gender. And I say that not in a bad way, just because it's so rare. So Terry, what prompted you to go into that business to begin with?
Well, you know, it just was kind of a natural progression for me. I had been working in a corporate environment for a Fortune 200 company for 13 years as their facilities manager and assistant vice president. And I opened and moved and closed and, you know, remodeled and all kinds of things for the offices in the region, the Houston area, the region, even in the Texas area. And corporate initiative was to outsource the business. Probably without thinking about it too much, I just jumped at the opportunity to open my own company. I wanted to continue doing what I really love to do. So I started my own company and haven't looked back.
That is so cool.
Fantastic.
I love those stories where the next step is it's just an opportunity door that opens right in front of you, and it just, you know, it's kind of staring you in the face saying, well, are you going to step through? So
absolutely.
That's really incredible about your story as well.
Well, thank you. And I had been actually thinking about it for a year, but how to make the step, I wasn't sure how to make that next step. I enjoyed working in corporate. It was a great experience. But how do you make that step into being self-employed? And it actually just presented itself to me. So
Exactly. And what a better way to do it, because you had a ready-made first client right from the get-go.
Absolutely. And then it gave me an opportunity to have some business and, you know, have some income as well as continue to diversify. And, it was just a fantastic opportunity.
Sure. So what you talk about residential and you talk about commercial. I mean, I'm sure you've got tons of stories that you can talk about. But, I mean, what first thing I'll ask you is, what to you was one of your most rewarding projects?
Oh, you know, there's so many great projects. I would say the couple that come to mind. There was a project a couple of years ago, and it was probably my largest residential endeavor because I had really focused on commercial for years and years. And I had a gentleman approach me, and it was kind of his home, but it was an art gallery also. He was an artist, and it was in the Heights. And his project had been basically stalled, and he had drawn plans and tried to work with architects, and it was just extremely over budget. And John Palmer met with me and asked me to, how can I make this happen? And I, you know, we sat and just basically I just was going to be a consultant and help him. Well, I think if you do this, if you rework your plans, rethink this. And with a little guidance and help, he was able to take that project, get it inside his budget area, and make it a reality. And I was able to help him with the construction. I did the construction on his home, his art gallery in the Heights. And it was just, fantastic to see something that had been sitting on the shelves for a year because he wasn't sure how to go about making it happen. For me, that's just extremely rewarding that I was able to be a part of it and help him make it become a reality.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. I love that story.
Thank you. Me too.
So, for people that don't know, for some of our listeners that might be outside of the general Houston area, tell them a little bit about what the Heights community is like, because I know that the community itself probably had some challenges in terms of things that you could and could not do and things that you needed to do to help it blend into the community.
Oh, absolutely. The Heights area is a, you know, well-established, older, historic neighborhood near downtown Houston, and they have done a lot of work in that area to keep it in its historical value. And so there was a 1,200 square foot bungalow that was built in the 1920s that we refurbished and maintained and kept it as part of the house and then added on additional 3,000 square feet, a two-story addition behind, and kept it in style with that home and the area and its historical integrity. So it was a fantastic challenge in itself in that regard as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's neat. That's neat. So you mentioned to me, we were talking before the show began again, you were talking about one of your most recent projects that you completed as well. So I'm going to take you now on the commercial side because you just finished another pretty incredible project. You want to share with everyone about that?
I would love to. Yeah, I'm just in the finishing stages of the Memorial Athletic Club for Women. We started working on the project with bids and plans probably in March. I was awarded the bid in July. We didn't start construction until September, but once we've started, it's been an 8 or 9 week project now, and we're just about to completion. It was a 7,500 square foot remodel of a space to house a new Memorial Athletic Club for Women facility. And it was very rewarding being, you know, a woman in construction handling the women's facility club. And I helped them kind of think it through as far as the women, the needs for the space and work with everyone involved. And it was just, it's been a great experience.
Oh, that's so neat. Now, so let's do something, and I didn't warn you in advance that I'm going to do this, but I know you're natural and you're just going to flow into this. But, you know, let's open up the kimono, if you will, about the whole process and talk about, help our listeners understand what a general contractor needs to go through in order to take a project from the awarding bid all the way through to completion. What all kind of steps do you go through to ensure the project is going to get done on time, within budget, and all of that good stuff?
Yeah, it's a great question because it's part of what I love to do also, and it's what I feel like helping my clients, guide them through the process is part of what I enjoy to do the most, to make it happen. And there's a lot of legwork and a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes before it even starts construction. And it basically, from the architectural drawings, if they're provided by the architect, if not, I work with a designer and a space plan and architects to come up with those plans, anywhere from the space plan to actually the elevations and renderings of what the space will look like. And this could be in residential or commercial, all the way through to making sure that we can get permits and if engineering is needed. If it's a residential project, we may need to have soil tests performed. There's meeting with subcontractors to make sure that everybody understands the projects and the finishes and all the materials have been selected. So there's a lot of legwork that takes place all the way to even get the pricing for the construction or remodel, and then in order to get the job and move forward. So and then you get to start. So it's a lot of it's a lot of stuff that happens. You know the project really, really well, intimately well, before you actually even start it. And it's fantastic. At the end of the Memorial Athletic Club, I was really excited. And so the owner of the club said, you look shocked. And I said, no, I'm not shocked. I said, I'm excited. It's fantastic to see this finally come together after we've been working for it, for months. And I've been doing this for years, but yet I still feel so much excitement. Every time I see the project coming together towards the end, it just gives me a great feeling, a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment that I was able to help and, achieve it. So.
Well, and one of the things that I know that has certainly helped you ensure that you come in on time and within budget is the whole the subcontractor network that you've been working with for years. So you know them, they know you, and so it kind of naturally flows. It's not like getting to know somebody new and working with somebody new each time.
Absolutely. Right. Established relationships that I've had for years, and everybody works together as a team to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
People that I can depend on.
Exactly. So, and I have to believe that there has been times when things haven't gone smoothly. And so, I mean, how do you manage that process? And when I say haven't gone smoothly, I mean, I know things, I've built a couple of homes or been involved in building a couple of homes, or I guess I should say had been built for myself. And, sometimes stuff happens and
absolutely,
lights
yeah.
don't show up on time and all that kind of stuff. So how do you manage through those little oops?
It's part of the process, I think. It's part of what I love to do also is solve the problems as they come up, especially in a remodel situation. Sometimes there's absolutely no way to know exactly what we're going to face until we get into the remodel. So, as the problems come up, I like to work through it with the clients and the subs. And I really like to think outside the box, which is a little unusual in the construction business. But if you have something you want to achieve, I like to try to make it happen if at all possible. So I think things are going to happen, and as far as problems or situations are going to arise, but to try to just make it, streamline it as much as possible and help through the process. And there are going to be changes, as you're building or as you're remodeling, you're going to say, I didn't think about this, or I really think if we did something over here, and it's something that you just have to do on site while it's taking place. But part of it that I just really love, that, a little hand-holding, a little talking it through and communicating to everyone and making them feel that, well, they are. They are the most important thing you've got going on right now, and you want their project to have the best end result for them.
Well, and you just hit the nail on the head, pardon the pun, as it relates to, you being successful in the business as well as you having successful projects and happy clients at the end, and that is communication. And I think that is also something that you as a woman in the business, I mean, that's one of the things that we love to do is communicate with others and make sure that there are no gotchas, or if there are some gotchas that came into play that were beyond your control, you're able to to work with your client or work with your contractors, et cetera, to figure out, you know, how to work around it and make it work in spite of the gotchas.
Absolutely. And the thing also that I think really helps me, too, is being in the corporate environment for so many years, when I would hire general contractors and I would hire architects and I would hire engineers and I would kind of coordinate and everybody together, and I noticed that there was a lack of communication sometimes. So trying to help get that flow of communication through, and also seeing from the client perspective, you know, the expectations and what they're looking for, because I was on the other side of the desk and I was hiring the contractors. So I think it gave me a great, valuable experience to move forward with and try to provide the best of everything for the clients, you know, with that experience in hand.
Sure, sure. All right, so now I'm going to transition a little bit, and so one of the questions that I have for you is why, and a lot of this, the answer to this question, a lot of it has come out in the course of what you've shared with me thus far, but why do you love, I mean, it's clear to me, so clear to me that you're passionate about your work and that you love what you do. And so I'd like you to answer a couple things. Number one, why do you love it so much? And then the other thing that I want to share with our listeners is, what do you have to say to people out there that aren't doing what they love, but they have this passion inside of them, and it's kind of stuck? So let's start with the first question. That is, why do you love doing what you do so much?
Great question. I love what I do because I just enjoy helping people through the process of construction. Sometimes it can be confusing as far as where do we start, what do we do first. You know, just the whole process can be, you know, kind of overwhelming and intimidating. And I like to sit back and kind of like, let's get your vision in mind. Let me help you sort this out. Let's get through, you know, this is what we need to do first. This is what we need to do next. You know, let me help you make it less confusion, and let's see how we can actually make it into a reality. So I don't like to take one part of it if I can help. I mean, I don't mind doing one part, but if I can help you through the whole process and really think it through and really take everything in consideration, I think it just makes for a better project and a better end result. And I have the vision. And it sounds so strange, but when somebody comes to me with a project, I take it on as my own. So it's my own home, my own office, and I want the best for them. And I try to get to know them so well that I understand how they live or how they work and what their needs are and what we can do to make the construction or the process or remodel really fit their needs and accomplish. So when we finish the end result, it's wow, I'm really so happy that we did this. And, you know, and I'm friends with them because we talked throughout the whole process, and typically, you know, it's just, it, you know, a friendship has bonded through the process.
Sure.
And so
sure. That's
how I get most of my business is referral. And I love that. I love that.
Well, now, okay, so before you transition into the next question that I had for you, you just prompted something that I wanted to ask you about, and that is, so it sounds like, I mean, do you have a lot of what I'm going to call repeat customers, people that come back for subsequent projects?
I absolutely do. I have repeat clients all the time, and if I'm not doing work for them, they're referring me on to their good friends or their coworkers or another business. And it just is, it's fantastic to already go in with a referral from a great experience to go on to the next great experience. So,
mm-hmm.
And I love the diversity of all the different jobs. I love that.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a pretty fair mix of residential versus commercial?
You know, for years I was really commercial-based, and with the market changing the last few years, I had an opportunity to get into residential, and I think it all happens for a reason. So I was able to help with a wonderful project in the Heights, and it just kind of got the door open for me to start doing more and more residential. I would say this year I'm right about 50-50 for doing residential and commercial. So it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Well, that's, you know, and I love that mix because you don't, I mean, you know, because you love both of them, it gives you that opportunity to do one and do the other, and you never get bored or burn out, although it doesn't sound to me like you ever get bored with any of your
products. No, no, it offers us diversity for sure.
Sure, absolutely. Okay, so now I'm going to go back to my other question, and that is whether we and I have a lot of male listeners as well, but so if we have anybody out there, male or female, out there that they have that burning passion inside of them and they're not living it. In some cases, they may be stuck in corporate America. In some cases, they just may be doing something that they don't love and they long to do so. So what do you have to say to those people?
Do it. Find a way. I know it's challenging to take that step, and I was provided an opportunity, but I think that all happens for a reason, too. And if you put it out there that you're looking for that, it'll come some way, somehow. If that's in your mind, that that's what you want to do and that's your passion, I think that you find a way. And I think when you're doing the right thing, there's just a natural flow. It just happens. If it's something you do on the side while you're trying to get established, or you're researching something, or you've got, you know, you're doing a little website, some business cards on the side, whatever it is to help you take the next step, find a mentor, find someone to network with, you know, research it. I would absolutely encourage anyone to follow their passion.
Well, and you said something that, again, was key, and that is put it out there. We've got, you know, I run into so many people that the minute they share something, whether it's something that they need or it's something that they desire, you know, it's something that you know, well, like I said, they're just putting it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment they put it out there, somebody says, oh, I didn't know you needed that, or, oh, I didn't know you'd like to do that, or, oh, you know, oh, I've got the perfect person to hook you up with, or the perfect, you know, whatever. And so when we sit on, and many, I'm sad to say, but I'm also thrilled to say, there are so many women that are afraid to ask for what they need. But I also will say there are so many women that I have the privilege to be, you and I have the privilege to be connected with on a regular basis, that they're very comfortable with putting out there what they need. And again, the minute they put it out there, is the moment that someone serves up the answer that they've been looking for. You know, you talk about you were in corporate America, the opportunity presented itself to you. I know so many women in corporate America that long to do what they love, and they're sitting waiting for the right opportunity. And it's funny because you said, I've been thinking about doing it for a year. I believe you said a year. I've been thinking about doing it for a year before the opportunity presented itself, or they approached you about outsourcing that part of the business. Now, for some people, that may have been devastating. Just the fact that somebody was outsourcing their job.
Mm-hmm.
But you chose to seize that opportunity. And
mm-hmm.
that's what I love. And but there are so many women that are sitting in corporate America, and they have this false impression or false security that it's going to happen on their time frame, not on the company's time frame. And in today's market, and I'm sure you can attest to this based upon your experience, it's never totally in your control.
No, absolutely.
Yeah,
there's a false security in a sense that you know, if I work for corporate America, that, you know, I'll have a steady income, I'll have a great, you know, job. And, you know, that may be the case. It may not be the case right now. So I think there's this opportunity that being self-employed and following your passion, if you're doing what you're passionate about, I think there's just a natural flow, and it will always come to you.
Mm-hmm. It comes to you effortless. Or not always totally effortless, but
right.
with ease, because it's something that you're a natural for. And I, you know, I don't know. I, and it sounds like you're the same way. The moment I started doing the things that I was passionate about, you know, it was no longer work.
Right.
It no longer is work. It's oh, wow, I you know, I'm just absolutely loving what I'm doing. And, in fact, it's funny. I went to a workshop. This has been probably about a year ago or so ago. And this workshop was about I actually went to primarily just experience it and observe it. And one of the things in the workshop, it was about, you know, finding your passion and getting on the path to pursuing your passion. And so there was an exercise that they put us through during the workshop itself. And it was about, you know, what do you really want to be doing? What do you love and what do you want to be doing? And I just sat there kind of with this blank look on my face, and the workshop, the facilitator kind of looked at me and she was like, oh, you know, are you okay? I said, yeah. I said, but I'm struggling because I'm already doing what I love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have this, you know, dream of things that I want to do in the future because I'm living it right now. And that's what I wish for every single person out there that's listening to the show, that has that same dream. They want to be doing something different or doing something they're passionate about. And, you know, as you can tell by talking to you, and our listeners can hear by listening to you, it's clear, it's so clear that you're passionate about what you do and you're enjoying it tremendously.
I definitely enjoy what I do. I'm passionate about it. And I absolutely agree with you that finding your passion and feeling the way you do, it makes a difference in how you live your life. I think the only problem that I have and it is with balance, because I enjoy it and I do so much of it. Sometimes I get a little out of balance because I do just take it all on. I want to do it all. And so
mm-hmm.
that would be the only thing that we've been, but what a downside, because I still am doing what I love, you know, so.
Right. Well, and talking about the whole balance thing, first of all, one of my beliefs is there is no such thing as balance.
Well, that's good. That makes me feel better.
And what I mean by that is particularly when you have your own business, you have the ability. I kind of liken it to a balloon. You know how you squeeze in the middle of the balloon and, you know, all the air goes to one end or it goes to another end. Well, that's my analogy for balance, because at any given point in time, for example, when I'm hosting one of my monthly luncheons, well, the week of my luncheon, I'm crazy because I'm just, you know, making sure, doing everything that I need to do to make sure it's a quality experience for everyone. So that week of the month is probably crazier than other weeks of the month. And so yeah, my business gets a little bit more of my attention during that. But then the week after the event, now I do a lot of follow-ups and stuff like that, but it kind of eases off, and that air in that balloon shifts a little bit further towards the other side, where all the things that I've ignored the week of my event, you know, take precedent or can take precedent. And I'm sure that's the way you are too. When your projects are getting, you know, at critical stages, of course, they're going to take a lot more of your time. But then there are other times, and this is one of the beauties about having your own business, there are other times when, you know, if I want to take a personal day, or I have to, okay, we're getting near the holidays, if I need to do holiday shopping and I want to go to, you know, wherever I want to go and I want to do shopping all day long during the week or something, I have the ability to do that. So
yeah.
Don't you find that to be the case? So if that's something people out there are doing, my personal belief, and again, I can't dictate what someone else's view of balance is. Balance is a personal thing, but that's what I choose to believe is balance for me.
Well, you know, I always thought balance was, you know, working the 8 to 5, working out a couple of days a week, spending some family time. But when you're self-employed, it doesn't necessarily flow like that. You don't necessarily have an 8 to 5 day. There may be a week where you're working some serious hours to make it happen at a critical stage, or you're really busy with a couple projects overlapping, one's finishing up, one's starting. But you're right. Then 2 weeks later, you know, you've got a down day and you can do your holiday shopping, or you can, you know, squeeze in a doctor's appointment or whatever, a dentist appointment. I mean, whatever you need to do, you have that flexibility. So I think that it's, for me, still a learning experience of kind of just going with the flow and just, you know, do what you need to do when you, and because you'll get a chance. You may even go through a couple months where it's extremely busy, but then you'll get a breather at some point and, you know, take advantage of it because you'll get, you know, it'll be busy again a month later. But it's hard to see when you first get into business for yourself where the next job comes. You want to be, you know, have a little bit of fear. And once you release that and you know that it's all going to go and with the flow and it's going to come back around, it helps you find your new perspective, your new kind of new balance, if that makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. And you know, while we're talking about balance, I know lots of people in corporate America, and I was one of them, that had a, quote, job that certainly did not have the opportunity to have balance in an 8-to-5 job either. So,
you know, and I would say I didn't either. So that was your... I'm glad you corrected me on that. You're right.
Self-employed people that have that challenge.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I worked some serious long hours in corporate as well. I just think that it had a little bit more, you know, a little bit for me right now. Maybe that's a bad comparison. But for me, in corporate, still had a little bit more stability than in being self-employed because there is just, you know, we kind of say it's feast or famine, and it's just big waves of business at one time where you kind of have a little bit more steady. But you're right. I worked a lot of hours in corporate. So that's
sure.
Your,
Well, and the other thing is, I mean, you are totally, totally, number one, in control of, and number two, responsible for your livelihood when you're self-employed, where, you know, when you're in corporate America, depending on the job, I can remember when I first launched my business, oh man, now I'm responsible for providing my expense account before I could live off of somebody else's expense account because I was in a sales position.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
it's a new mindset. It's a new mindset.
Yeah. So, okay. So what's next for you? What do you have any projects on the horizon or in the works that are on your mind now?
Yeah, I've got a couple of very small commercial projects that I'm working on. They're so diverse in what I do. I'm hoping to work with a glazed over ceramic store to expand their location. First American Title is remodeling an office, so I've got those little projects happening probably end of this year, the first of next year. And I've got a great residential project I'm working on over in the Rice Village area, which is kind of another older area, more established area in Houston. And it would be a remodel of the current home as well as an addition to the home. I'm really looking forward to it. Great clients, great people to work with. And, you know, I enjoy every bit of every different type of job I can do. So, and there's, you know, as long as I've been in the business and I almost with my corporate background, it's almost 19 years. There's always new things to learn and new products and new ways of doing things. So it's exciting.
Sure. So, do you primarily work in the greater Houston area?
I do typically work in the greater Houston area just because my subcontractors and my relationships are here in Houston. And I have done some work in San Antonio and Dallas, but it's more challenging, you know, because I'm not there all the time. And I prefer to stay in Houston if possible, but when clients see me in different locations and I've done work with them in the past, I will absolutely follow them wherever they need me to be.
Okay, cool. So is there such a thing as too small or too large of a project?
Absolutely not. No. I mean, I've done very small, you know, remodels or help people do just, you know, little almost maintenance items, but to all the way to, you know, I've done a remodel and a commercial project a couple years ago, Woodway Condominiums on Bering and Woodway, and it was a $1.7 million remodel. So there is no too small and there is no too large.
Okay. Now, another question. Again, this is showing I'm somewhat naive to the industry, but is there such a thing as a slow time of year?
No, I don't really think so. It's very, you know, you would think it's at the holidays, but it's not. Typically, people want to get things done in their homes and offices before the holidays. There are residents, a lot of things will happen for residential prior to summer, especially if with moving and relocating. I haven't really seen a season yet. Maybe right at the first of the year we might slow down a little bit, but a lot of people are gearing up to start projects at the first of the year. So I don't see any kind of cycle to it.
Got it. So are there any particular types of contractors or vendors that you have a need to connect with? Do you have any that you're looking to add to your team, if you will?
I think there's something that I would like to move forward in a little bit is going green. I think that there's a lot of move in that direction and getting certified. So something that I've been, you know, thinking about kind of in a back of my brain, and something I'd look into is trying to be a certified lead contractor that could help with the green construction. I see that as a mm-hmm. wave in the future. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. So I guess I'm gonna flip this, and this is all about how you can help others. But now I'm gonna flip this and say, how can our listeners help you? What in particular do you have a need for? Again, you just mentioned one in terms of going in the direction of becoming green certified. But what else? What do you need that our listeners might be able to help you with?
Well, I do work basically on referral business, and so I always try, and I don't really advertise that I know of. I mean, I've got a website and I've got that, but I mean, really just word of mouth. If you know someone that's wanting to do a construction project and doesn't know where to start, if it's residential or commercial, I would love an opportunity to help people. And sometimes it's just meeting and brainstorming, and Terry, I can meet with them this year and it couldn't happen for a year, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't let it stall the project. If you need to talk about it and need help with, you know, getting a vision as to what the project is or where to start, you know, I understand. I've been in this business long enough that I have seen many projects, you know, go on. It could be the house that I'm working with in Rice Village, for example. You know, that was a year and a half ago that I originally talked to them, and they put the project on hold, and they're ready to start now. So it happens, mm-hmm. and I'm okay. So don't feel like that you know it's a waste of time, because it's not. Anything that helps you and their project move forward and help them become a reality or a vision for them is something that I love to do. So
you know what I love about what you're sharing with us today is the fact that I'm blessed again to be surrounded by so many women business owners that have been making stuff happen for themselves in spite of whatever we hear on the news and whatever should be going on related to their businesses. And it sounds like that is the case for you too. It sounds like there's always been projects out there to be done. There are people that are doing projects in spite of whatever's going on with the economy or what they're hearing. So it sounds like that's the case for you as well. Is that an accurate statement?
I agree, yes. I mean, it may be slower, and I may have, you know, not as many projects, but I have been blessed with work, you know, throughout the year. It may not be, you know, my best year, but it's been a good year. It's been steady. It's always something there, and it's with the people are going to continue moving forward. So if the real estate market's down and they're not moving, then they may want to stay in their home and remodel. So I think it's all about how we look at it. And I don't know about you, but I don't listen to the news all the time. I would rather just move forward and with an open mind and a good attitude and, you know, and just, you know, reap, you know, I think you reap what you sow, and you just help people and you try to do the best you can, and it's going to work out.
Well, and somebody asked me for a quote the other day, you know, it was about what have you learned from the economy about your business? And you know, my response to that was, it's really interesting because for the people that chose to, what it's so funny, I hated this term during the hurricane, but now I have coined it, and that is for the women that have chosen to hunker down and wait for the phone to ring. And, you know, those are the ones that, unfortunately, I'm seeing, number one, their businesses deteriorate, and in some cases, I'm seeing them fold up shop.
Absolutely.
But for the women that I'm seeing, they're just out there making it happen for themselves in spite of what they're being told should be happening for them. I mean, I'm seeing women that their businesses are going gangbusters. And so that's the other thing I want people to take away from our conversation.
Yeah, it's surprising that, I've watched it this year, and I've seen it firsthand. And when really, you know, it's listening to the news or whatever, fear is so in the face of the people that they can't see past it. They're paralyzed by their fear of it, and I really do understand, and I empathize, but it's not helping. It's paralyzing them from moving forward, and I don't know why, but I choose to dismiss it and just to keep going. And I think it separates. If you can really get through this period and you stand by and you put in your time and you do, and so maybe the projects aren't moving as fast, or maybe they're going to be slow and to get going, or maybe you meet a few more times than you normally would. Whatever you have to do to put the extra effort forth, I think it'll pay off. I mean, that's my attitude.
Absolutely.
What I've decided to do, and I've actually been criticized for it. Well, why would you go do that, or why would you spend so much extra time with that, and why would I not? Why, when there's a possibility that business is, I'm going to get business from it, and I'm not going to help somebody, you know, see their project. What's the other answer to not do anything? I just had to take the other direction, and I really thought that this would bring out the best in people, and in some regards it hasn't. And I just think fear is paralyzing to some. And I don't know why I've chosen to go the other direction. But it's something that I just don't look at. I just keep moving forward and praying that it was if you walk the right steps and you keep trying, that it works out. So
absolutely. Okay, so if somebody wants to learn more about you or potentially connect with you, I want to make sure they get an opportunity to hear what your website is, as well as you share your contact information. So if someone wants to get a hold of Terry Robinson of Construction and Design, how do they find you?
Okay, my website address is www.CD, which is Construction Design, CDINC for Incorporated, TX.com. So it's www.CDINCTX.com. And my business phone number is 281-556-6844.
And again, that's Terry Robinson of Construction and Design. Okay, so now I'm going to ask you a really quirky question. That is, have you ever had just one of those crazy odd projects that gotten the opportunity to work on?
Crazy odd project. You know, every one of my projects is unique, and so that would be hard to
tell. You're dancing on the okay. Do I acknowledge that one of my clients had an odd project?
I mean, you know, how do I say this? I get into the relationship with the client, and though I may not be my personal taste, if that's what they want, I'm going to make it happen, Terry. So if it's you know, it's kind of, so there are different styles and different tastes, and everybody has them, and that's okay. And that's part of what I like to do, you know, eclectic. So I don't know if there's anything per se that I would call unusual, because I try to take it on as my own. So, no, I don't know if I really would say there's anything too unique. I like that, though. I like the uniqueness and diversity, so.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're based in Katy, Texas, correct?
No, I'm at the west side of town, Westheimer and Eldridge area.
Okay. But when we say you serve the Houston area, are there any boundaries to that, or you pretty much go anywhere the projects are?
Anywhere the projects are. I've gone, you know, I've worked in Tiki Island right outside of Galveston and built an office. I've gone all the way to Beaumont and done an office and did some storm damage a couple locations in Beaumont. I've done stuff up in New Caney, Texas with a banquet hall and, Kingwood, the Woodlands. So I'm all over Houston. I just did a project, a residential remodel earlier this year near downtown in a 1920s house. The project I have now at Memorial Athletic Club is at Memorial and Derry Ashford. I'm in the Heights, as I've stated. So I'm just everywhere. I'm wherever the project.
Yeah.
Katy, Texas. I've done many projects in Katy. So I'm wherever the work is. I'm there.
Mm-hmm. So what I love about what you're sharing is, number one, the diversity of the projects, commercial and residential, and the diversity within each of those, as well as diversity in terms of location. I mean, you go anywhere.
Absolutely.
So
and that's what I enjoy,
I
really do.
And that's about serving your clients, too.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I just, I think that's the biggest thing is you're making the meaningful connections with my clients, you know, and feeling that, and I like the part. I really kind of like the part of being friends. You know, after I finished the project in the Heights and it was 6 months of, you know, towards, you know, halfway through the process to the end, you probably are talking to that, you know, homeowner, business owner, you know, daily or every other day. And so, I mean, a month after the project, he called me and said, you know, I just kind of miss talking to you. I mean, you just get to be friends, and it's almost like a little bit of like, you know, letdown after you're done to leave the project, but you got to go to the next one and start all over. So, but I love those connections because it's special. It just is fulfilling and meaningful to me to have those connections and those relationships.
So, do you have any situations where, let's say, for example, someone hired you for a commercial project, and then that led to you working with them on the residence, or vice versa?
Absolutely, it happens quite often. Actually, I've done numerous projects, you know, with title companies and mortgage companies, and then the management offices or the people in will, you know, remodel their homes. So once you get in and you've helped them with their offices, they're like, hey, you know, yeah, I love working with you. Can you help me with my house? And I absolutely love that because, you know, again, it's already that established relationship. You've already proven that, you know, you're there for them and that the connection. And so move on to the next project. It's a great referral.
So besides people, customers referring you to other end customers, who is a good connection for you in terms of, I think of this because you mentioned title companies, and that leads me to thinking about real estate agents and things like that, of you know, they're working with clients all the time that potentially are acquiring properties that they may want work done. Is that a good connection for you as well?
You know, it's interesting that you said that because I've been kind of working on that angle. In the past, I had an idea to really kind of work that area, and I haven't. And I could definitely see that would be a connection for me if somebody's buying an older home and wanted to remodel it before they moved into it, or you know, something to take in mind while they're in the purchasing process, the remodel. And I think that would be a very good connection for me and something I would like to do.
Awesome. Well, and I have somebody else that I've been thinking about during the show that I want to connect you with. And, and the moment you said out of the box, I knew she was a perfect connection for you because she's actually she's an eWomen Network member here in Houston, and you probably haven't had a chance to meet her yet. But one of her tagline for her business, she's an interior designer, and her tagline is outside the box.
Like it.
Okay. Yeah. I immediately wrote down that I needed to connect the two of you because
outside the box, the construction is kind of not typical. So typically, you know, you kind of have to hold everybody's hand and say, no, we can do it this way. But the guys I've worked with now have known me well enough and say, you know, uh-oh, here comes Terry with another idea.
Another one of her crazy ideas.
Right? But that's what I like, because the client had a need and, I had an idea, or they had an idea, and we brought it together and we're thinking outside the box, and now most of the subs that I'm working with, actually enjoy it and appreciate it and kind of go, okay, here we go again. So I like that. I like, it's not typical. It's not, it's unique to the individual.
Now, when you said earlier that you like to do the whole project, but you're certainly able to take on a project, part of a project, so does that mean you team with other general contractors?
No, typically what happens, though, in some commercial environments, architectural and engineering plans have already been drawn, and they may just be looking for just a general contractor to do the work, and absolutely that's kind of the way in the past that everything has been done, is that you would go out and get an architect, and you may even get your engineer, and you get all these plans done, and then you go to bid, that process is still very much alive and very good process. Lately I've seen more trend that you go with someone that can help you through the whole process, so that you're already taking consideration construction cost while you're designing it, versus going out and drawing it. Because sometimes you'll draw, like John Palmer's house in the art gallery in the Heights, you draw the plans and then you go out for construction bids and they're double what you were anticipating. So now you're going back to the drawing board. And so sometimes the reason I like to be in it from the very beginning is that you can take all that in consideration as you're going forward.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you can help them design it to their budget,
right,
from the get-go.
Either way is definitely, I would say, I probably do more parts of work, and just do construction. But very often, if I'm able to get in and do the whole process, it just seems like an easier, because I've been involved from the very beginning, and it helps them get the best end result, the cost-effective, time efficiency, all those, good things in the process to help streamline it through. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we spent a lot of time talking about how you can help others, and so I just want to give you one final opportunity to talk a little bit about how others can help you. Again, how do they know, one of the things that I tell people a lot when they tell me, okay, I need more clients, I'm like, okay, be specific. Give us an idea of how, if we're out networking or we're talking to our friends, what are some indicators of people that might be candidates for teaming up with you?
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm always looking for people to work with. You're asking for basically the different types of subcontractors or people that I team up with on a project?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I'm thinking about how do we recognize somebody that might be a candidate for hiring you as the soup to nuts GC for their project. So it's businesses that may, somebody that's perhaps buying a new business.
Mm-hmm.
It's also people that have been business for years and maybe they're expanding and they've expanded beyond their capacity. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm looking for.
It's really diverse. It's anything that really, if there's a vision, if it's a remodel situation and they want to remodel their home or their office. If, I did a great project, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago in New Caney, where it was an old Legion's Hall, and we refaced the building. Somebody bought that building, and we refaced the building and redid the interior, and now it's a beautiful banquet hall. So it's anything it could be a small kitchen remodel. It could be you're relocating your offices. I'm very diverse in what I do, and if you hear construction, and especially if you hear I need help with where to start or how to go about this, I love that. So, I mean, I want to help people bring it into reality, because sometimes I think that construction can be convoluted or intimidating or confusing, and just kind of take it one step at a time and help them make, you know, wherever, whatever they need, if it's residential or commercial, help them through that process.
Well, it's funny because you said convoluted I can't remember the other word you used, but the word that came to my mind was frustrating. Because when you don't know, I mean, for example, I know when my husband and I bought our house was, they had already built it. I can't remember the term you used for that, but it was already underway, but it hadn't been finished.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we got to come in and we got to put our finishing touches on it. And then subsequently, we've had some plumbing flood issues that we had to have parts of our home literally gutted and reconstructed.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when you're not familiar, when you, the homeowner, are trying to be the person managing the project and just dealing with contractors one-on-one, it can be incredibly frustrating.
That's a great point to bring up, Terry. You know, and a lot of people do that. And I think that that's where part of my value is, that you've got a problem. We're going to rip out that plumbing and we're going to redo those lines. But then what about your hardwood floors, and what about your sheetrock, and what about your paint? And, you know, I may need to get behind that cabinet. And so there's many trades involved in making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And most of all of my subcontractors have worked together for years. So having somebody kind of, you know, manage it for you does take out the confusion and does take out the frustration, and just say, you know, give me a week and I'll, you know, or whatever the time frame is, and you'll be back up, you know, good to go. And you're taking all those little things into consideration, and, you know, that you're prepared for it.
Well, and I'm going to share one other quick horror story that we went through that I wish on no one, and that is, during one of our major floods in our house, we literally, you mentioned hardwood floors earlier, we had to have our hardwoods completely replaced downstairs. And so we had hired a contractor that was pretty much, he helped us do a bunch of different stuff, including having our hardwood floors replaced, but he ended up bailing on us. We had just given him money. Again, you know, naive homeowners not knowing the process.
Mm-hmm.
We had given him some money, a deposit on the next phase of the project, and he literally vanished.
Oh,
not only did he vanish, but what was worse is he vanishes, and then he sends us a Christmas card after this and said, I promise I will make it right, or something to that effect. And we still, this has been 13 years ago, and we still haven't heard from him.
You know, and that's in there again, you know, and fortunately I've heard these horror stories, and you know, being in the corporate and hiring general contractors, I actually have to say I've had a few. And so I think that you learn from those experiences, and you know that the advantage of going with a general contractor, that, and I've been in business 6 years, and I mean, God forbid, if somebody was doing your hardwood floors and the guy took off, I'm still there to help you.
Yeah.
You know, to hire somebody else and get them in to finish the job. So, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that those problems don't happen, because unfortunately they sometimes do. But my reputation, my love for what I do is I have to make it right. So, you know, and hopefully that my guys have used long enough that those things don't happen. But let's just say even a person had a family emergency or a situation, a car wreck, and they're in the middle of doing your project, and we need
mm-hmm.
your hardwood floors done. You know,
mm-hmm.
we would get somebody else in to finish that, and because that's my reputation, and that's, you know, I would have to make it right. So that's the benefit of having a general contractor involved in the projects, because I mean, and it's something that I want to, you know, really overcome, is that stigma of the contractors that things like you just told me, that a guy walked away from a project and didn't. I don't want people to have those experiences. I want them to say, I had a great experience. You know, it might have been a little dusty. You know, it might have been a little bit of, but, you know, if you're living in it. But, you know, but it was a great experience, and, you know, here's her number. Call her. You know, because I want to be that contractor that, you know, made it right. That was there through the process, that helped you find the way through, to help you with the budget, to kept you on time frame. And those things are all, you know, qualities of communicating and working with the subs and loving what I do.
Absolutely. Well, and I want you to be the contractor for the people that are listening that are having, they foresee a need in the future, whether it's commercial or residential. So let's once again give them your contact information. We're getting down to about a minute left in the show, and I want to make sure they know how to get a hold of you.
Okay, it's Terry Robinson. I'm with Construction and Design. My website address is www.cdinctx.com. And my phone number is 281-556-6844.
All right. So if you've got a project on the horizon, or you know someone that does, you're crazy. I mean crazy if you don't call Terry. I love her to death, and I know you will as well, and I think she would be an awesome awesome addition to your project and help you get through it as painless and pain-free as possible. So, Terry, thank you so much for being such an awesome guest on today's show and sharing your passion with others and encouraging others to do the same. And I also want to thank all of our listeners for listening to the show, whether you're listening live or you're listening to the archive. You know how to get a hold of me, and you know how to get a hold of Terry. Terry, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you, Terry.
You were an incredible guest.
I appreciate it.
And you didn't think we would fill an hour.
I didn't think so. We did it.
All right. So thanks again, everyone, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Terry Craig Show, Real Women, Real Results. Bye now.